A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We're all about community, growing community through commerce, making our world a better place through connections. We're proudly presented by the good people, the good community-minded people at Horicon Bank. Today, we're going to talk commerce through closets and technology. Yep, closets. How do you handle your closets at home? Are you, like, super organized? Are you, like, by the book? Everything has a place. Are you that type of person? All the shirts have to be like color coordinated in the closet. All the ties and the suits and the shoes have to have a place. Or are you a little bit more, what, pray and spray, right? You just throw it all into the closet and you hope that you can find it when you need it. You hope that you can find that pair of pants or that shirt or that sweater. No matter what and how you organize your closets, the team at Inspired Closets have a new cutting-edge augmented reality solution that could make your approach to closets a whole lot more organized and optimized. I know in the Sherman household, we have these old 1925-built closets that we have not renovated. They're small. They're just not functional and usable. So I'm excited to talk to Dan and Katie about their business and specifically about their new technology solution and how it can be used for older homes like ours. They're coming up in the next segment. But as we do each and every show, we're going to go two up.
Now it's time for the
two, count 'em, two.
Two up on the upswing.
Two up, two things in the business world that I'm seeing that you need to know about right now. Number one is new leadership at the YMCA. So the YMCA of Metropolitan Milwaukee named a new president and CEO to succeed Carrie Wall. Wall announced her retirement in December, and she had planned on retiring March 31st, which happened. It ended 8 years for Carrie at the organization. Her tenure included a lot of transformation, including Chapter 11 reorganization, selling a few branches, and significantly reducing the nonprofit's footprint in the Metropolitan Milwaukee area. Now, new CEO Dave Morgan, who was the president and CEO of the YMCA in Kalamazoo, Michigan, is coming into the market, beginning the new role as CEO on July 1st. He'll be based at the Wright Height Family YMCA in Brown Deer. And he'll have some interesting challenges and big opportunities on his hands. Now, if you look here in downtown Milwaukee, the Downtown Y, here at the Avenue, where we're recording this show right now, it closed in March of 2020. And the fitness membership business is a really crowded one right now. It's been crowded for years, but you got to think that the YMCA is going to look to reestablish that presence in downtown Milwaukee. Not necessarily here at the Avenue, but somewhere in greater Milwaukee. And I'm hearing some rumblings that they're looking for a new spot. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on that. The Milwaukee Y has two traditional branch locations, the Wright Height in Brown Deer and the Briscoe Family YMCA Wellness Center in Franklin. The organization also runs programs at Milwaukee's Northside location, and it runs Camp Menicani in beautiful Hubertus. All the best to Dave Morgan as he takes the helm of the YMCA July 1st. Second up, what's your biggest fear for retirement? The first couple years of retirement are often the most difficult. And I've heard this from not only my parents, but a lot of people, right? You got to set that stage in those first couple years of retirement. You got to see what it looks like financially and psychologically. The Wall Street Journal has a regular retirement rookies column written by a husband and wife duo, Stephen Yoder and Karen Yoder. I was really interested to read their column this week. They said, "We feel especially vulnerable right now that retirement has us identifying the threats we face as we age." They said in the column that we worry about heart attacks and dementia. But as my wife and I text back and forth, we are much more likely to get killed by a driver. And I'm reading this story about retirement. I'm like, whoa, what are they talking about? Here's the deal. There's a whole lot more 65-plus people everywhere walking, biking, and being much more active in the outdoors. Older adults at 65 and over are disproportionately represented in pedestrian fatalities due to all this new increased activities. In Wisconsin, individuals over 65 account for 16% of all pedestrian deaths annually. The couple that writes this column for the Wall Street Journal, they live in San Francisco. That number goes from 16 to 50% in San Francisco. So my point in highlighting this story is that, yes, put in a ton of effort for retirement. Save those dollars for retirement. You're going to need it. But no matter how old you are, you got to put a lot of effort also into making sure that our roads are safe for everyone. And I'm talking cars, pedestrians, scooters, bikes, skateboards. Be aware as you drive. You shouldn't have to fear this in retirement. Whether you're retired or not, our roads should be a place for everyone. You got to be aware and you got to be safe as you drive. You know, another place that you shouldn't be scared about is your home or your closets. We're going to get some insights into how technology can make your closets bigger, brighter, and better than ever when we come back. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Today, it is commerce through closets. Ooh, and we have some very cool new technology that is going to make your closets even better. Dan and Katie Anheuser from Inspired Closets Milwaukee join us in studio. Dan, you're looking good.
Thank you.
All right. I want to dive right in to the technology because we can see it on you right now. Walk us through what the new Envision technology is all about, and what problem does it solve for us as homeowners?
Absolutely. So the new technology is called Envision by Inspired Closets. And what it does is it uses the MetaQuest goggles to be able to allow the consumer, our clients, to actually walk through their closet space in real life before buying it. So we go through, we work hand in hand with them to design the closet space. And then they could put the goggles on and actually see what that's going to feel like.
So it creates a whole immersive 3D experience, much easier than just a simple blueprint or going to a website and seeing what a rendering looks like. It puts you into what your new closet could look like.
That is correct. Most of our competition will draw up the closets on graph paper. We are putting you inside the closet.
So what was the, as you developed this solution and put all the time and talent and technology into it, what were the challenges of developing a system like this?
Sure. We didn't develop it. So Inspired Closets is a new national brand of custom closets. And so we are a locally owned wife and husband team. And we relied on their corporate office to develop the technology. And they really refined it. And it is perfected and unbelievable. Our clients just absolutely love it when they get the chance to put on the goggles.
Does it integrate at all with other technology within the home, or is it kind of a standalone? Or how do you use it? Like, let's say I have an old 1925 home. These old closets are just not suitable for our lifestyle anymore. How does this technology help make that experience for us even more efficient?
Sure. You would come into our showroom, and we have a designated spot where we draw up the closet. And when you put on the goggles, you are literally in your closet space now at that time. So you're able to reach the shelf or see that, you know, you don't have enough hanging space. You know, you wouldn't test drive a car. You wouldn't buy a car without mm-hmm. test driving it.
Yeah.
So why buy a closet or a new pantry without being inside
of it. I can see what the drawers
it.
Will look like. I can see where the shelves, I can
yes.
envision where the clothes would hang or where the ties go or where everything goes. And it's way easier to see in a 3D immersive, almost a video game type experience. When I put it on earlier, I was like, wow, like this is what I need to make this choice easier. And are you finding that with your clients?
Yes. Sometimes one of the hardest things is that they have, even shown in 3D, it's hard for people that aren't in home renovation projects all the time to understand really what that's going to look like in 3D. Now they get to step into it and really reassure themselves that what they are purchasing is going to work for them.
All right. Dan and Katie, I want to dive in a little bit deeper into the kind of the past of the company, right? Company was founded in 1969 as Bazaar Home Decorating. Was it
Bazaar Factory Outlet? Actually,
okay, all right. Give us the history of the company.
Well, Dan can do that. That's
sure.
His grandparents.
So my grandma and grandpa started the store in 1969.
My
grandpa was a serial entrepreneur and started Bazaar Factory Outlet as a fake fur remnant store. So he was working for a fake fur manufacturer.
Hmm.
They were throwing away the scraps. And so he negotiated a price to buy it and started selling fake fur remnants by the pound. And from there, my parents bought the store in the early 80s. And during the energy crisis, and started adding warm window shades and window treatments, which got us into being custom window treatments. And then in 2008, 2009, when the economy took a downturn, I was back in the business and I added custom closets to the product mix. And then we grew that division to be so successful that we needed its own separate location. And so we branched it off and created Inspired Closets.
We're talking with Dan and Katie Anheuser from Inspired Closets Milwaukee. I'm pretty sure back in 1969 they didn't have AI technology for fur remnants.
No, they did not. And, you know, it's always been our family has prided ourselves on making sure that we're staying up to date on what's needed in the marketplace and the newest, I don't say latest and greatest, but keeping on top of what our market needs. And right now there's a need for a custom closet company that gives that full immersive experience to reassure you that you're purchasing what you're looking for.
All right. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the trends you're seeing in closets, home organization, and just the home building business as a whole right now. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are talking about the business of closets and technology, home building, and much, much more. Dan and Katie Anheuser from Inspired Closets Milwaukee join us. But Dan, Katie, it's kind of an interesting time in the home building business. I think there's so much technology, so much opportunity to customize now. What are you seeing in terms of like the most unique or surprising kind of closet design that your clients are saying, I want? Is it still that the allure of the walk-in closet, or is there something bigger and better that people are asking for now?
No, it's definitely the walk-in closet. What we're seeing now more and more with new home construction is a his and hers closet. Mm-hmm. And a space for each individual. With the home building, ceilings are going taller than ever before, so we're using that vertical space more and more, as well as lighting. Lighting is becoming more and more important. People are putting chandeliers in their closets, but it's, you know, you're standing between you and your clothes. You need your clothes lit up, and having that as the next latest and greatest feature.
Yeah.
It's not just a closet. It's a living space.
Oh, okay. I like that. So in terms of balancing the customization and the scalability of your business, I'm sure you have clients come to you and they want it all. You know, like they want this nook and cranny. They want this module. How do you balance that from a business standpoint?
Sure. We give them three designs. We interview the customer. We ask them what they're looking for, get all the information. We spend a good 15, 20 minutes just asking questions. And then we'll give them a design based on that. But then we'll also give them two other designs, kind of like a good, better, best, so that they understand where the costs are coming from. People don't shop for custom closets every day, so they don't know kind of what the costs are. But this way, we try to educate every single customer on where the costs are coming from and make a design that not only fits their needs, but also fits their budget.
So what's that piece of that nugget of education, especially for someone that wants to transform like a small or awkward space into a highly functional closet?
Yeah. What we try to do is we try to figure out
what are you trying to solve for? Like, what is like, wow, I look into this closet every day and I'm like, ah. Yeah.
A lot of times what we're trying to do is take stuff off the floor and put it on shelves. Out of sight, out of mind. And we have our patented ways and to designing stuff that we can get everything off the floor or as much as possible. We don't extend out walls. We're limited by the space that we have. But how do we maximize that space so that there's a place for everything? And sometimes it might include the consumer getting rid of a couple things that they don't need anymore.
That's a good tidbit for the Sherman household, for sure.
For every home.
Yes. What about shoes and accessories? Are there kind of standard ways that you tackle those items that we probably all have too much of?
We have three different ways to store shoes, either like on a flat shelf or the slanted shelf that everyone knows about. But then we also have our shoe shrine, which has these thin metal or glass shelves that really allow us to compact down and really customize to how high each pair of shoes are to maximize that space vertically again. And so we're not using a lot of space. And then everyone can see their shoes and they want them. They can find them and go and grab them. They're not spending that extra time trying to find their shoes.
What's that kind of that one closet item that people just can't live without? Is it, I don't know. For me, it's like you have certain shirts and sizes that are just different lengths. And I'm always kind of challenged with where should the bar height go? Like what's that customization, that one thing that people just you need in the closet?
That depends on the individual. Everyone's different. Everyone's looking for stuff to get ready. For you, it'd be, okay, so now how do we, can we put a shelf in between our double hang? So that way, you know, your shirts are different heights. Can we put the longer ones on the bottom, shorter ones on the top, and then be able to use that extra shelf space? Sometimes it's as simple as a valet rod. Or we have new jewelry drawer dividers where you're able to open up the drawer and you can fit sunglasses in there. Or 100 pairs of earrings, whatever the individual has, they have a lot of that they like collecting. We have a place to be able to see that and make sure that when they open the drawer, when they go to the closet, they can see what they want.
What custom drawers for eyeglasses? Have you ever seen that? Like, I have a lot of friends that just have like 10 pairs of glasses, and they're like, I want something built into the closet that I know where my glasses are at all times. Do you get customized requests like that?
We can absolutely customize from velvet, different velvet colors, to leather, to whatever you're looking for.
Watches have become real big in a men's closet.
Yeah. What's your tip for ties? Like,
tie rack.
Let's say the old school, like the mechanical ones, or do you build custom ones to make them easy to see? Because I know, again, in the Sherman household, our old closets, I just have them hanging in places that I just, they're hard to find.
We have tie racks that pull out. We can do drawer dividers that have ties in there. We have drawer dividers that you can do belts in there. Half belts, half ties, depending on what you have.
What I'm sensing is I need to have you guys over to my house so we can redo the closets because we need some help.
We don't like telling customers no if they have, like, this is what I'm looking for. We'll go out and we might not have the answer that day, but we'll find an answer for them.
Dan and Katie Anheuser from Inspired Closets Milwaukee, I appreciate your time. All the best for the future of the business. Anything else on the table for this summer that we need to know about?
Make sure you have an organized garage. Everyone wants to have a smile on their face when they open that garage door or they close the garage door. It's the first place you're going to see when you go home or when you leave your house. Don't you want to leave and go with a smile on your face?
That's a wonderful tip. All right. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Jeff.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. The 2025 Milwaukee Film Festival runs through Thursday, May 8th at the Oriental and Downer Theaters in beautiful Milwaukee. More than 200 feature films and shorts to choose from. Get all the information. Just let me put this at the beginning of the segment. mkefilm.org has the full schedule, all the lineups and everything you need. Ty Williams from Milwaukee Film Festival joins us. Ty, I appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate being here.
Of course. Give us quick your Ty Williams story. Give us your story, because you've worked in film and culture in Milwaukee for a long time.
Yes. So I moved here from California in 2016 to go to UWM's film school, UW-Milwaukee. And after I graduated, in between doing classes, I became a manager at the Union Cinema. And then through that, I went to the Oriental Theater one time and just kind of randomly begged them for a job. And a month later, they were like, all right, you can work here. And that was in 2019. And so for about 4 to 5 years, I've been kind of working up to this programming position, kind of hoping that at some point I could do it. And now is the time. So I'm very grateful.
Nice. That's great. So I wanted to talk a bit about just the programming team's approach to curating such a diverse lineup. What, 208 films
from
40 different countries? What are some of the themes and trends that emerged as you put together the 2025 program?
Yeah, I would say for me personally, with the world being what it is, it's always burning, it seems, that people felt like there weren't a lot of outlets to see inspiring things happening, and that, you know, when you open your phone, it feels like you're kind of reading or looking at something bad all the time. So I kind of wanted to find films that had that balance of like talking about things that are very serious and impactful, but also doing so with an inspiring light. Hence why I programmed things like Any Other Way, the Jackie Chan story, since that, you know, you could look at it as a pretty sad story, but the entirety of the film paints a very noble picture of this woman who really just wanted to share her talent with the world. So things like that, things of that nature that really make people say like, hey, like film is so powerful. It reached me and made me leave this theater with a better mindset, a better frame of view.
Yeah. From a festival standpoint, how do you balance putting together local talent, international talent, and kind of making it all impactful on the community level? I mean, here at The Upswing, we talk about community building a lot. So I want to ask you about community building. But first, just tell me how you balance that local and international approach.
Yeah, totally. So when it comes to curating films, I think that to get a full picture of what programmers do, it's going in and not only watching the films and saying, like, is this a really good film? Is this a great film? Is this a film that would work in tandem with another film? Putting your biases aside and just recognizing a good movie for a good movie. And also keeping in those factors of like, hey, we have 5 men on the lineup. Do we need a woman in there? Hey, there's no queer movies this year. Maybe we can get a few in there. Things like that, of that nature, of making sure that we're hitting all the bases. And sometimes certain things don't pan out where you really want a certain film that you think will be a crowd pleaser, it'll be a hit, and maybe distribution rights or it's going to play somewhere else or so many different factors. So I say all that to say that, you know, if you're a local filmmaker and you submit to the festival and you don't get in, it's not because of the quality of your work. There were so many amazing films this year, but it is really hard to choose and balance, especially because you want Milwaukee filmmakers to also feel like their work is as important as other filmmakers who show at places like Sundance and things of that nature, to sort of let them know that like your work is very valid.
Yeah. So what does building community through film then mean to you and the team at Milwaukee Film?
Yeah, I would say that a really good example of this is our community partners, which are partners that we reach out to usually in tandem with a film. I believe we just had The Librarians with us. It was our centerpiece, which had Lion's Tooth. I was going to say Lion's Den. Lion's Tooth, the bookstore, and Boswell as well. So just an example of a movie dealing with libraries, censorship laws, things of that nature, and getting actual bookstores and people who deal with the topic at hand to, you know, share their insights as well, and also just sort of reach out to people who want to go see the film since there is a mutual interest there.
Yeah. I mean, are you striving for that talkability after the film and to connect with audiences so that they learn something and kind of go out into the world and shout at the rooftops?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, part of film watching in a theater is the conversation you have afterwards, is when you walk out of that theater into the bright lights and you're looking at all the people who you didn't even notice were in there with you. Maybe you see somebody who you know you work with or a buddy, and just having a conversation about like, okay, what did we just watch? And even if those conversations don't happen directly in the theater, the conversation that you have afterwards eventually still is what we're aiming for, is just sharing this knowledge with other people, this wisdom that you gain through, you know, whatever you take away from a film.
Yeah, we all grow and build through connections and conversation, and a film is that conduit. I love it. We're talking with Ty Williams from the Milwaukee Film Festival. When we come back, we're going to learn more about the Black Lens series and how Ty and his team put that together and what to expect for the rest of the Milwaukee Film Festival that runs through Thursday here in Milwaukee. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We're joined by Ty Williams from the Milwaukee Film Festival. Film Festival going on right now through Thursday at the Downer and Oriental Theaters right here in, it's not downtown Milwaukee, but it's greater downtown Milwaukee, the east side. Ty, I want to talk about the Black Lens, not only the festival from February, but the Black Lens series within the film festival now.
Yeah.
Talk to us about the criteria of how you select those films and kind of what audiences can see for the remainder of the festival.
Yeah, for sure. So for Black Lens, for the film festival portion, and at least with all of my programming for Black Lens, my approach is being as versatile as possible and connecting Black stories to all different types of walks of life. Be it you are Black or not, something that you can still connect yourself to a film. So, you know, the house music documentary, so many people, Move Your Body, The Birth of House, the name of it, which already screened. Unfortunately, we won't be having more screenings of it. But just an example of something so deeply rooted in Black culture that is connected through so many places in Milwaukee, because there are so many places in the city that play house music and love the genre and have a fond appreciation for it. So, just being versatile and making sure that everyone can see a story that connects to them.
Tell us a little bit about Hoops, Hopes, and Dreams. That's definitely on my list to see.
Yeah, for sure. That's in our Black Lens Shorts program. We will have another screening of that on Tuesday, May 6th at 10 p.m., Oriental Theater. And the Martin Luther King short is called Hoops, Hopes, and Dreams by Glenn Cano. It is a film that sort of documents through narration of other people's accounts, as well as just, you know, stories passed along, how Martin Luther King Jr. recruited people into his movement, which is by going to different basketball courts and saying, I'm going to play you in basketball. Like, let's do a one-on-one or like get some teams going. Mm-hmm. And connecting through a younger audience by being like, hey, I'm coming to you where you're at, going to connect with you. I heard you out. Come hear what I have to say, you know, see what I have to offer you.
Hmm. That's great. Yeah. I mean, I'm really looking forward to that. I watched the trailer and kind of a little bit of an untold story, too.
Yeah. You don't hear it too often, yeah. Which is also another reason why I chose it. It's something interesting to take home and be like, oh, you know, I saw this one. Did you know this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I want to talk a little more globally about the festival as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And get your take on kind of the role of regional film festivals, obviously, especially here in Milwaukee. But how do they support kind of the broader eco and economic ecosystem that we all live in?
Yeah, totally. I would say that Milwaukee Film Festival specifically is inundated in such a love of film culture and an appreciation for the arts that you will be coming across people who you just never know who you're going to meet. It could be a guy from Netflix that's there watching a movie. Could be someone from a radio station, someone from a news station, anything, where they say, whoa, I didn't know this was being made here. I want to connect with this person and help them out towards their goals. And also just sort of being able to say, I have had my work in a festival, and giving yourself the confidence to submit to more festivals and realize that, you know, as much as we would love to have your films here, you can branch out and show your work to the world.
Yeah, you can almost see it. I mean, from the creative economy standpoint, as a big networking event, right?
I mean, exactly.
You have access not only to a live audience that if your film is screening, you can get instant reaction, but you can meet and greet with others in the same industry that can provide business opportunities down the road.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that instant audience reaction is also so important to fully see what the reaction to your film is on the big screen at the Oriental. I think is such a special thing for people, and it very much is worth it. So I would say if you ever want to submit to the festival, you have a piece of work, a film, documentary, doesn't matter. Just submit it. Go for it. You never know what might happen.
All right, before I close with a couple of quick fire questions for you, what are two other films that I shouldn't miss for the duration of the film festival?
Yeah, totally. So we have one of them that I programmed, 40 Acres. If you're more into horror movies, zombie stuff, this is a film about an apocalypse with a black family sort of trying to just survive, but there's also bits of cannibalism, lots of gross stuff. If you like The Walking Dead in any sort of way or just zombies in general, this is one for you. Very fun movie. And then on a sort of counterpart to that, a not-so-fun topic but still an inspiring story, we have A Mother Apart playing May 8th, Thursday, at the Downer Theater. And that is about poet and activist Stacey Ann Chin, who was abandoned by her mother and goes to many great lengths to say, I'm not going to let that happen to my daughter. I'm going to do the exact opposite and provide a very great life for her, and just going through all the feelings and emotions that come with that, also tied to her activism.
All right. And the closing night film is what?
It is Jane Austen Wrecked My Life. It looks pretty fun. I'm kind of excited for it. It looks cute.
Kind of a French romantic comedy, right?
Yeah, exactly that.
All right. I like the return of the romantic comedy. that's a good thing. All right. Three quick things, Ty, for you.
Sure.
One, what's your favorite movie food and your favorite popcorn?
Ooh, my favorite movie food, I would say, is I'm a sucker for a good movie hot dog and a slushie. Okay. And if they don't have that, I would say any type of sour candy. And favorite popcorn is caramel corn all the way.
Nice.
Just perfect popcorn.
All right. Define Milwaukee in three words.
Diverse, creative, and really wholesome.
Love it. And then finally, if you had to, and you have to right now, define success for me, Ty Williams.
Okay. I would say success is being content with your life. I think that for some people, they may reach further than others by saying, I have to complete all of these things. But in reference to film, you know, some people want to make 10 films. But for some people, just making one is enough. Saying, I actually did it, I did the thing I really wanted to do, is more than enough. So as long as you're content with your work, the people you're around, you know, I think that's success.
Very good. The 2025 Milwaukee Film Festival runs through Thursday, May 8th. All the best for even more success for the rest of the duration of the film festival. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. In order to measure what the state of our economy looks like, you need a scorecard. And it was great to see this week that the Center for Applied Economics at Marquette University's College of Business Administration released its first economic scorecard for southeastern Wisconsin. Now, this is going to show Wisconsin and the Milwaukee metro area continuing to outperform national economic averages. This new scorecard says that signs of a gradual economic cooling are emerging, with forecasted trends pointing to a softer employment gains and rising housing costs. But this scorecard also highlighted some of the manufacturing and hiring specifics. So I wanted to walk through some of the numbers from the economic scorecard from Marquette University. In a nutshell, I mean, we're in a pretty good economic position relative to the nation. Overall, total state income in Wisconsin is growing faster relative to the national gross domestic product. As of 2024 Q4, Wisconsin's annualized real gross domestic product was approximately $357.3 billion, accounting for roughly 1.52% of the national economy. The unemployment rate in the state, we're standing at about 3.1%. And in the Milwaukee metro region, it's 3%. So both of these remain well below the national average of 4.1%. Well, at least a percentage below. But that's a good sign for employment here in Wisconsin and Milwaukee. You look to the manufacturing space, manufacturing employment in Metro Milwaukee, which has been declining since mid-2022, is expected to stabilize and even grow. Not a ton of growth expected by October of 2025, but the average hourly earnings in the manufacturing space are expected to continue to climb from $35.79 an hour in March to almost $36 by October of 2025. News this week broke that Kohl's has terminated its still very new CEO, Ashley Buchanan, after an investigation determined that he was directing the retailer to engage in vendor transactions that involved undisclosed conflicts of interests. Kohl's named its chairperson, Michael Bender, as the interim CEO, and that's effective immediately. In connection with the appointment, Bender is going to step down as a board member. It comes at an interesting time for Kohl's as they're, I think, still finding its place in this new retail world that we live in. They're not Costco, they're not Walmart, they're not Target, and they kind of play in the middle of this retail space. Ashley Buchanan had some interesting ideas to optimize Kohl's in terms of new design, new designers. I've said for a long time that Kohl's needs to get back to its basics and really go hard at what Kohl's Cash made them into. People admire Kohl's Cash. They use it. And no matter where you are in the income scale, little Kohl's Cash always does the family budget good. Next week on the show, we'll look into the positioning and promotion and all the opportunities around what Kohl's could do as a retailer. You can get every past episode of the Upswing texted to you. All you got to do is text UPSWING to 855-616-1620. Enjoy it. Enjoy the rest of the weekend, and we'll see you again next week.